So I'll be like, Daddy, I want Disney video. So once he sent me The Little Mermaid, and after watching that, I got so into that character, Ariel, that I thought if I stayed underwater for too long, I would turn into a mermaid.
Oh.
And then, yeah, so I nearly drowned myself and died, and then my cousins had to save me.
For many years, thousands of Nepalis have been moving overseas with the hopes of a better education, job, and lifestyle. Some find success in conventional fields, while some carve their own paths. Who is to say one is better than the other? Success is a journey, not a destination. So come on this journey with me, where we connect with our Nepali communities living overseas and explore their conventional and unconventional paths. My name is Sankalpa Gurung, and this is Hamro Yatra. And welcome to Hamro Yatra. Our guest for today is the lovely Alina Gurung. Born in Nepal, Alina has moved quite a bit, living in Hong Kong and Brunei before finally settling in the UK with her family. She comes from a generation of family members working in the army, which has eventually led her to finding her own career in the British Army as well. In this episode, we go over Alina's love for acting, impersonating Disney characters as a child, her teenage years in the pageantry and modeling world, to now being in the British Army as a single mom. We explore what life is like working in the British Army and the changes motherhood has brought in her life. Through the ups and downs, it is inspiring to see the gratitude Alina brings along in her day and the positivity she marches forward with. You can tell from our conversation that Alina now has a depth to her from all her life experiences and a beautiful son around whom her life revolves. As always, if you enjoy these conversations, please share with your friends and family. Remember to follow our Instagram page at hamro.yatra for updates. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave us a 5-star review if you're feeling generous. This really helps other listeners find our podcast. Thank you. Welcome to Hamro Yatra, Alina. I'm so grateful that you took out time for us today and I'm excited to hear about your journey.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Now, Alina, we usually start with a few icebreakers. The first question being, if you could choose a superpower, what would you choose?
Oh, that's easy. I would be like the Nepali version of Wonder Woman. Can you imagine how cool that would be, especially if you're working in like the male-dominated place, workplace?
Of course.
I would be whipping that whip thing, you know, making sure everyone's telling me the truth. And I'll be like the Nepali Wonder Woman. Yeah, that would be my superpower. That would be so cool, actually.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And Alina, if you could pick one dish for the rest of your life, what would you pick?
One dish. Can I pick my mom's food instead of one dish?
Is there any particular food like that she makes?
Because I love all her food. But then it will probably have to be momo. It'll have to be momo. Yeah, dumplings. Yeah. All day, every day.
Yep. I think momos and dal bhat is like two responses that are very common.
Yeah, definitely. Like you would not be Nepali if it's not common.
And if you could pick one Nepali historical moment to go back to, is there any particular moment that comes to your mind?
See, I've never done history in my life. So my history is knowledge is so bad. But if there was one time that I could go back to, it would probably be the day when the whole royal family got murdered, just so I know who done it.
Yeah,
that would probably be the day that I would like to go back to.
I have the same answer as well. Like with all these questions, I actually ask myself as well. I'm like, oh, what would my superpower be? Where would I want to go to? And going back to that day just to find out what happened is definitely like on the top list.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's sad, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, Alina, you were born in Nepal.
Yeah.
What was your childhood like and how were you as a child?
My childhood was amazing. I grew up in a really big family. My mom had like lots of brothers and sisters. And mostly it was with my grandparents as well, because when our dads were away, either like in Hong Kong or Brunei or UK, we all just lived with our grandparents. So it was like a big, happy family.
Were they in the British Army?
from my great granddad to my granddads, my dads, my uncles, my cousins, everyone.
Wow.
Like Gurkhas in the army. Yeah.
And you've continued the tradition.
Well, every time I mention that, oh, hey, guys, I'm in the army as well, they just go, no, you're the fake one, because they all pass the selection through Nepal.
Mm.
So obviously I did mine here. So they're like, nah, you're the fake one. You got it easy. Fake one of the family.
How old were you in Nepal till?
I moved back and forth. So I was born in Nepal and then went to Hong Kong when I was like, what, 4 or 5, came back to Nepal, came to UK, went to Brunei and then went back to Nepal. So it was always like back and forth.
Mm.
Yeah. But yeah, my childhood was really good. Thank you. I even went to a boarding school as well for like 2 years, I think, in Pokhara. So that was very memorable. I'm still in touch with like some of the girls there.
Wow.
Yeah. But then I think if my family, they have to describe me, then I would be like the naughty one.
Always up to mischief.
Or like the rebel of the family, always.
Were you an only child or did you have other cousins or siblings growing up?
So I had my younger brother, but I grew up mostly because my younger brother was just attached to my mum the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up with my cousins who were all boys. So, you know, wrestling was like my top thing to do when I was young.
So being brought up in different countries like Hong Kong, Brunei, Nepal, UK, how was that experience for you, like Alina?
Part of me did not like it only because I just hated the fact that I have to move to a new place, make new friends, learn new language, like study new subjects that I've never even known before. And part of me hated that. And then finally, when I finally made friends, I would have to move again.
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't like that part. Hence the reason why now I don't want my son traveling with me. I'd rather him be in one place with my mom, who's doing a great job looking after him. But apart from that, it's, you know, I've had great memories. So
yeah. And at what age did you move to the UK to settle here?
To settle was when I was 14, so year 10.
Okay, so you were quite grown up already then.
Yeah.
And did you have any transitional challenges? Because I know you were going from one place to another. So sometimes you also get used to that constant traveling and constant having to move as well, right? So how was it finally being, okay, we're going to be in this place for a while, for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, it was, I think because I came here in year 10, you know what, it's like GCSE year, isn't it? Year 10 and 11. So I found it quite hard, as in, I wasn't the best at like English. Like there was always like groups of people in schools and I didn't really have that. And my parents, I don't know why, they sent me to this like all English people school, if that makes sense. There was no Nepali considering.
Yeah.
So it was hard for me to begin with. School life, year 10 and 11, considering it's like GCSEs or SLC, as you say in Nepal. That was hard. But then after that, college was amazing.
Was it very different in terms of academic life from coming from Nepal to the UK?
Oh, definitely. In Nepal, I had to be back. I had to move back a class because I could not write Nepali. And then when I finally like learned how to write Nepali and then moved up the grade, I had to come here. And then I was in year 10 and I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? And the only thing, so like I said, English and science I found hard, but I still passed it. But maths was all right for me. I think I enjoyed maths because it was kind of like the same in every country. Yeah.
Like you learn the same methodologies.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, I read somewhere that you were interested in being like an actress from very early on. What was the appeal there for you growing up?
So growing up, I've always like watched mostly Bollywood films, I would say. Very theatrical Bollywood films. So growing up, I was always like, I'm going to be an actress, you know. I would get into like characters so much. Like my mom had to ban Disney from my life when I was growing up. That's how bad it was. So my dad would be like, Tori, you know, what shall I send you? And I'll be like, a Disney video, because there was no DVDs back then. There was that cassette thing.
Cassettes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'll be like, Daddy, I want Disney video. So once he sent me The Little Mermaid, and after watching that, I got so into that character, Ariel, that I thought if I stayed underwater for too long, I would turn into a mermaid.
Oh.
And then, yeah, so I nearly drowned myself and died. And then my cousins had to save me.
Oh my God.
Like in this river that where we went. So, but loads of events like that kind of like, yeah, made my mom ban Disney. Like Mulan, I chopped off my hair, you know, because I was like, I'm going to go to war. Not my dad, even though my dad wasn't going to wars. Yeah. And what's that dog films? Is it 101 Dalmatians?
Yeah.
Yeah. I went around the neighborhood collecting all like the dogs and brought it to my back garden.
Oh my God, I love it.
And then, yeah, it's honestly, I watched Pocahontas and started walking bare feet. And then I burnt my leg or something because I stepped on a fire and then I had to go to the hospital. Oh, so yeah. Anyway, I used to get in like the characters so much, and I've always enjoyed acting. I've always enjoyed drama.
Mm.
So at college, I did performing arts for my BTEC national diploma.
Yeah.
And then I went to uni to graduate to get a degree in drama because I was like, I'm going to go back to Nepal and become an actress. Yeah, it didn't work out like that.
How was your family support at that stage? Because I guess back then, being an actress was even more unconventional than it is today, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. But my mom was so supportive. She's always been so supportive because when I did pageants as well back in the days during my teenage days, my mom was always there, you know, in the front row cheering me on.
Aww.
Always so proud of me. And then even on my graduation day, she was like, yeah, you got a degree in drama. Not what I wanted you to have, but you got...
It's something.
Yeah. She was like, it's something. I'll take that.
Oh, that's so cute.
So yeah. Yeah. All my families, they're very, very supportive, luckily.
Mm. So around 2005, you did move back to Nepal for quite some time and made a name for yourself in the modeling world. I wanted to ask you, how did you navigate yourself in the world of modeling back in those days? Because you didn't even have social media, right? It must have been such a different world.
It was. Yeah. So this is like a long story, but I'll try and narrow it down. You know, like you go through stages in your life where you think you know everything. Especially at your teenage, especially when you're a teenager.
Like, yeah. No one understands me. I know everything.
Exactly. Like I'm an adult now, you know, even though I'm under 18.
Yeah.
So I went through that stage and my mom was like, she's getting out of hand. So I need to send her back to Nepal for discipline. Didn't work out like that at all.
Instead, you got your freedom.
Yeah. Yeah. I went back to Nepal and I hated it though, because I was like, oh, I have no friends. I hate it. I don't want to be here. So my cousin, luckily he was on leave. So he's in the army now. And then it was his leave. So he went to Nepal. He was like, fine, you're just too sad. Let me take you to this concert. And I was like, okay, cool. Got ready, went to the concert. And that was when the photographers of like different, I think it was different Nepali websites.
Mm.
They were like, oh, this is our card. We've never seen you here before. Who are you? And obviously me being me, I'm like, I'm Elina Gurung. But I had really bad attitude problem before. I used to think I was, you know, all that. God, that's, yeah.
I think when you're a certain age and you do get opportunities, you have that sort of sense of yourself, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's only with experience and with age that you realize that you're not all that. And, you know, like there's so many experiences you still have to gather and there's so much more to life than what you thought at 15, 18, you know? So
definitely.
It's all a process.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I think if I was to go back in time, I would not be as like a drama queen. Like I was before. I lost all my friends as well because I just let, I wouldn't call it fame, but I kind of let that industry take over my life, you know?
Yeah.
And I was only 16, 15, 16? I don't really remember. Like that's a very young age.
Yeah.
It's not like you have an agent who makes decisions for you and who guides you the right way. I was just this free bird, and everyone, like, you know, was like, oh, do you want to do this? I'm like, yep. Do you want to do that? Yep. And I did not know what was wrong and what was right and what was bad and what was good. You know, I was just out there. Yeah.
How did you then get out of that world?
I think it was when I just didn't even have any friends left, I don't think. It was just getting too much. And even my mom was like, enough's enough. You know, she said, oh, look, enough is enough. You're really going out of hand. You need to think what you want in life. Because think, I took a gap year from college. So after school, I didn't go back to college. I went back to Nepal. Yeah, that's it. And then I came back to the UK and started a new life, went to college. Yeah, I was still out of hand though. Still off the rails.
But I guess when you said it was at the point when you realized you didn't have friends that you started to think about, okay, maybe I should go a different path, or I should look into where I'm going. But I'd like to delve into that a little bit more, because I think it was also that you realized the importance of having friends, right? Because you could easily not have friends and still be like, I don't care. Like, I don't need friends.
Yeah.
You could have easily gone that path as well. But you're like, no, this is a wake-up call. Like, I need to think about what's happening.
Yeah, definitely. And everyone else, like in the UK, all the girls that I knew, they were doing so well. You know, they were going to college to study, like, I don't know, science and all these great, you know, subjects. And then there was me in Nepal, like just drinking and partying when I was only 16. And I was like, that's not, by the way, I'll always be a party animal, always. But yeah, but I was like, that's, I need to do something, you know, I'm so young. Like, this could destroy my life. So yeah, wake up call, like you said.
And Alina, in 2017, it was just completely a drastic turn where you decided to join the British Army. Now, why British Army? Like, out of all the jobs you could have possibly picked?
So, like I mentioned earlier, I didn't really enjoy the traveling part, and I didn't like my dad being in the army because I had to travel everywhere with him. So I've always kind of hated, not hated the army, but disliked the army.
Yeah.
But it was when my son was born, my marriage broke down, and I had to go through this messy divorce, and I was in a very bad place. I don't know whether it was depression or I don't know what it was, but it was just a very dark, bad place. And again, my mom to the rescue. She,
God bless her.
Honestly, she's been there for me through thick and thin. She's like, especially with Nepali moms, you know how like strict they can be.
Yeah.
But with her, she like, she left her pride aside. She left the society aside. She was just there to pick me up all the time. And yeah, again, it was my mom who said, right, you need to take a break from Aiden, who's my son. Take a break, because I was just obsessed with him. I would not leave him with anyone. I was just, you know, I don't know, maybe like too scared to lose him.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. It was a very unhealthy obsession. So my mom just said, you need to take a break from Aiden. Just take a break from everything. Go figure out what you want to do in life, because this is not, you can't just be obsessed with your child and be with him 24 hours a day. And that was when I decided to visit Nepal again and just go backpacking, just go traveling by myself. And yeah, and then that was when I decided, I thought, as a parent, you would want the best for your child.
Yeah.
And I just thought, my dad's done it. Every single male in my family have provided for their family for through the army. And I was like, maybe that's something I can look into, and maybe that's something I can do, provide for my son by joining the army. And I guess it was like, in a way, an easy option for me, only because I know the army life. Not literally, but, you know, like the traveling and being away from family. And it has like good benefits as well. For example, I know loads of kids who's gone to boarding school because their dad's in the army, and you get like this military discount and, you know, loads of benefits. So, yeah. So I just, from Nepal, I think I was in, where was it? You know, up Jomsom? Jomsom? Yeah, I think I was up there, and I just called my mom, like, mommy, I think I want to join the army. At first, she was like, what? Even now, all my girlfriends are like, no way you're in the army. You're like the most dramatic person we know. And like proper girly girl as well. And so she just said, are you okay in the head? And I said, yeah, I think I'm going to join the army. So my mom, being the amazing woman that she is, she said, okay, let's come back and then we'll talk about it. So 2 weeks spent in Nepal by myself. I came back.
Mm.
And then I told her and she said, you know, it's not going to be easy, but I believe in you and I've always believed in you.
Oh, I love your mom.
Honestly, she's the best. She's like my best friend. And and then at the age of 27 and a half, I finally started training very late.
Wow. So how is the joining process for the army? Like, I am pretty sure there will be physical tests and whatnot as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's changed now, but I'm pretty sure it's the same. I'm not too sure, actually. But yeah, so there's a physical side that you need to pass, which honestly, if you, it's easy. If you believe in yourself, you can pass it. Yeah. Yeah. And there's a physical side. But for me, it was more the emotional side because I had to leave Aiden with my mom for the longest amount of time. I've never left him for that long before.
Mm.
So that was the hardest for me.
Was this for the training or the joining?
For training.
How long was the training process?
Training was only like three months. Yeah. It was only phase one was only 3 months and then phase two was another 3 months. But in phase two, you could go home every weekend. So obviously being brought up in Nepal, you know, like the army's discipline, it's, and considering I've been to like boarding school where they were like more strict, I'm just like, yeah, shout at me. Yeah.
I'm used to this. I've been like preparing for my entire life.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, the only thing that's that gets to me sometimes is that obviously people join the army when they're like, what, 18, 19.
Mm.
So it sometimes when like people younger than me were shouting at me, I'm just like, okay, whatever. But no.
Following up with what you just said, how has it been for you joining the army at a later stage?
Oh, to be honest with you, I've like, touch wood, I've been so blessed.
Mm.
I've been so lucky. I don't know whether it's because I'm all about, you know, like that positive vibe. And
of course.
Yeah. And I always count my blessing. Mm. Every single day I wake up, I'm always counting my blessing. I'm like, I have the most beautiful life. I have the most beautiful son. I have the most amazing mom as a mother. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So because maybe it's because I count my blessing every day that army has been so good to me so far, so good.
Mm.
So yeah, hopefully it stays like this.
You're just manifesting your own world of positivity around you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could say that. I take that.
And how is life in the army now? Because you mentioned that you had some late shifts urgently and you've just returned home. How does it work for listeners who don't know how work life is in the army? Is it 9 to 5 or like how the shifts work?
So it all depends on which unit you're at, which regiments you're at. My regiment's quite good actually with the shifts. It's quite easy, to be honest, as long as you get your head down and just do your work, you know, you kind of get left alone sort of thing. And it's not really 9 to 5. It's different because we have PT as well. And we have like sports afternoons and that's considered as working.
Okay.
Because you do need to like have your fitness level, you know, up to a standard. So that's considered as working. And Fridays we get half day.
Oh, nice.
So
you're always fit and Fridays you get half.
I would not call myself fit. Honestly, I'm not as fit as I would like to be. But that's just when you're in your regiment working, when you're away on exercise, when you're deployed somewhere, then it's a different ball game.
Mm. And what would you do as work? Would it be mostly admin work, desk jobs, or what would you be doing like on the daily?
Yeah. So for me, it's because I'm an MPA, which is a military personal administrator.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do most of the admin side of things, but it depends on your job role. Like at the moment, I'm like an ops clerk, which is like an operational clerk. Mm. So every time the soldiers deploy out on something and I kind of get attached to them and go out with them.
Oh, okay. So have you been deployed before?
Yes. So I've been to Croatia back in, I think it was in 19. Yeah, Croatia for a month. And then last year I went to Kenya for like over a month.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah. What kind of future do you see in the army for yourself, Alina?
So I want to stay in the army until my son finishes his education.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like him to go to a boarding school, but that's down to him if he wants to go or not. But I would, yeah, because I'm enjoying it. So why look elsewhere, you know?
Exactly. And it's working out with your situation as well, isn't it?
It's working out so perfectly. Yeah. Bless my mom. When she finally believed me, when I said I want to join the army, she was like, fine. She goes, I'm going to quit my job because I'm going to be a full-time grandmother to Aiden and then you can join the army. And I was like, oh
my God.
Okay. Yeah. So my mom actually quit her job to look after her grandson that she's obsessed with.
Now, Alina, how has motherhood changed you?
Oh, it has changed me. It has certainly matured me.
Mm.
The way I think about life has changed completely because before I was very, very selfish.
Mm.
It was all about me, you know? And it changed me in a good way.
But now I guess you've got someone else to think about as well, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Even my mom says that you were always just meant to be a mom in order to have your life, you know.
In order.
Life in order. Yeah. And I was like, really? She was like, yep. God was like, this girl is not listening to her mom. This girl is not listening to me. So I'm going to give her a son so she can like finally get her life sorted.
What a blessing in disguise.
Oh my God, big time. Aiden is my blessing. Big time.
Mm. Alina, I also saw that you appeared in a music video back in 2017.
Ooh.
Are there any plans of going back into that side of the world?
I don't know. I think I'm a bit too old for that now.
Oh, please, come on.
Yeah, I mean, if there's opportunities like that, I certainly would not turn it down only because that's something I've always enjoyed.
Yeah.
Since I was a little girl. So I definitely would not turn it down. But at the same time, it's not something I would go full time because I already have a career set.
Mm. And you've got your priorities as well now.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, Alina, having gone through so many adversities already and different careers, different places, what does success mean to you now?
Success, it might sound a bit crazy though, but to me, success is just happiness.
Yeah.
As long as I'm happy, as long as my son is happy, that to me is success.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not about, you know, it's not about having like loads of money or having like the latest design or whatever. But to me, it's just as long as I can put a smile on my son's face and make my mom proud, then that is success to me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. And I think it is also in the little things that you do and the things you have in your life already, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, you practice gratitude, you practice positivity. So you are well aware of the blessings in your life. So you don't need anything extra. So
exactly.
That's really good to see.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, because sometimes I imagine asking like, oh, what would a 15-year-old me say to this question? Like, you know, or even a 21-year-old or even 5 years ago, like my view on success or life would be so much different.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, I agree with that. Before my son, my view of success would be like, do you know what? I don't think I can even tell you about this.
Because when you said like designer stuff, I was like, yep, I would probably think having designer bags would probably be like a measure of success to when I was 10 years ago, like, you know.
Exactly.
And now I couldn't care less.
No, definitely non-materialistic whatsoever.
Now, Alina, if you could give advice to anyone else who is struggling out there, lost far away from their home or just unable to find their passion or their path, what would you advise?
First of all, always believe in yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's what I did and look where it got me now.
Yeah.
And don't doubt yourself and hang in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'll get there one day because, I mean, look at me. I joined the army at the age of 28 after being a single parent. So if I can make that happen.
It is doable, isn't it? There's nothing in life that is something you can't do or you can't achieve. You just have to have the right mindset.
Of course. Of course. No, I completely agree with that. Obviously, you can't be silly and be like, oh, I want to be a millionaire, so I'm going to manifest that. Yeah. I think that's just silly. You know, there needs to be like a level of, there should be like a line. Line drawn, and yeah, just believe in yourself and be happy. It's a beautiful life that we have, honestly.
It is, and especially share it with the people around you as well, right?
Yes.
Isn't there a saying that happiness just doubles when you share with somebody else?
Totally. I totally agree with that.
Alina, thank you so much for your time again. I know you're busy and you're tired, but I really enjoyed talking to you. You're so open and vulnerable. And, you know, even when you're talking about the things that a lot of people might struggle talking about, you were saying it with a smile on your face. And, you know, I just felt like I could be strong just listening to you. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Do you know, when you approached me and then I listened to your podcast and I was like, the guests that I saw on there, I thought, oh my God, San's got the wrong person. I'm not the one that she's looking for.
It's a mistake.
I'm like, it's definitely a mistake.
No, I am always so curious about people's stories. And there is just so much you don't know about someone just looking at their Instagram or like looking at their Facebook profile, right? And when I saw your profile on Gurkha Women, I was like, oh my God, I need to know this person. I need to hear her story.
Oh, I feel so honored. Thank you so much. And honestly, keep doing what you're doing. I love listening to your show.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's like so positive, that this platform that you've created. I love it.
It's a labor of love for me.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm so glad to hear that. And one day, do you know, I'm going to be listening to your life story, maybe over a glass of wine.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
As always, if you enjoy these conversations as much as I do, please share with your friends and family. If you'd like to share your feedback, you can reach us on Instagram at hamro.yatra or email askhamroyatra@gmail.com. I love hearing from you, so keep them coming.